And then here's just a little snapshot. This is from the client I run at home called Exaster. It installs, it's running on a Raspberry Pi 2. Yeah, I had several of them gathering dust, so one turned into a hand clock and the other one turned into my APRS station. So this is doing multiple jobs. It's my APRS iGate, it's an APRS fill-in digi, and it's my local interface, so I can sit down and see what's going on in the local APRS community. So you can see here's John driving along at 38 miles an hour. Here's his house, WB2MNF-D. Now,
When is this from?
this was from a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's where we are here, W2MMD. Now you'll see a W inside of a red diamond. That's somebody who has a WinLink VHF port put up. So in this case, there's one out here, W2KBF-10 and 11 are here. One's Vera, one's traditional packet.
One's 220 and one's 144.
Okay. So will either one respond to Vera or packet?
Yes,
okay.
Both dual mode.
All right, so same thing here with W2MMD-4. And then there's W2MMD-D, which is our DMR hotspots. So if you're tied into the APRS internet system, you're gonna see more than just APRS station. Like here is somebody running an APRS client on a telephone, KC2FAY. Here's the Clayton Digipeater. My house, another longtime APRS guy, N2RO. He lives across Iona Lake from me. And then here's Jay down here in Malaga. So you can see all kinds of different stuff. There's right here, you'll notice one called KB2M-2, and that is a weather station. Now, it's a little hard to see here because of the way the text overlay. If I want to see the temperature data, I would actually click on that station and I could see it a little more clearly. But it's telling me that it's 82 degrees, 64% humidity, the wind's out of the south at 1 mile an hour, gusting to 1 mile an hour, and the actual course that the wind is coming from is 195 degrees. So it's really good data. And that's just, I'm blanking on the guy's name. I've known him forever. I'm having murder with names as time goes on. But anyway, but this is something he put up a weather station at his place and went all the expense and effort, because a good weather station is not cheap. Like a Davis or a Peat Brothers, you're talking $400 or $500 to, but they're very robust. You spend all that money for essentially $0, you can put that data out on APRS and help out everybody else in the area. Nothing else really to say about this, but you get a really visual view of how busy places are. Like you'll notice it's real big. You can almost pick out the population centers just based on where the stations are clustered.
John, yeah, was John doing 35 in a 25 mile hour zone?
He must have been driving the black car instead of the red car.
I thought the red car goes faster.
It does.
Okay. So, well, all right, let me dispel a myth here. After consulting an attorney, I've heard a lot of people say, "Oh, turn off your, if you're going to speed, turn off your APRS." Well, guess what? None of this shit's admissible in court because it's not a certified speed reference. So,
I heard a story about somebody driving around during COVID when everybody was supposed to be home and they had their APRS turned on. And do you know anything about that?
Yeah, because number one, I was authorized because I was doing on the road travel for my employer.
That just tells you the car was moving. It does not tell you who was driving.
Driving, right. But it tells you there was a licensed amateur radio operator in the car.
No, not necessarily.
With that call sign.
With that call sign.
Which
car might have been beaconing it, but that doesn't mean that operator's in there.
Also, there's a lot of,
again, whoever it is.
There's a lot of, you'll see it a lot during MS-150. They will hang these one-way, essentially a tracker on a vehicle. If no licensed hams are in there, it's kind of a gray area. But at the end of the day, the person, every resource has to have a call sign associated with it. So if you put a tracker on something and that tracker is doing something illegal, guess what? You're on the hook because your call sign is associated. It doesn't matter if you weren't in the vehicle at the time. You are responsible for the transmissions of any of these stations. All right, getting started. Easiest way is aprs.fi. It's a website. You connect to it. If you've allowed your web browser to tell things on the internet where you live, aprs.fi will center itself on your location, give you a snapshot of what's in the area. It's free to create an account with them.
There's a lot of there. When you zoom out.
Yeah, we're in an unpopulated area for APRS.
Well,
if you look at the rest of the map, you zoom out. I mean, yeah. Pennsylvania's clustered.
Well, part of that too is APRS, APRS.fi right now, this is everything. So it's not just APRS. You'll notice like here, they're up here at Philly in the port, there's a ship called the McFarland. Yeah. So you see AIS, which is the marine version of APRS. In fact, I think even the over-the-air transmission part is the same. I think it's AX25.
Can you strip them down or set it so you don't get all the other stuff?
Yes. Yeah. But what you have to do is you have to create a free account on APRS.fi, and then there's a filter over here under other views, and you can deselect, like, there's all these little WXs, all these little weather stations. If they don't have a call sign, you'll see CW, Citizens Weather. So this is just somebody's home weather station that's transmitting directly from their station out onto the internet, and it gets picked up by the APRSIS string. There is a server that I think it's via Weather Underground that takes all these CW stations and repackages their information in APRS format. If you don't want to see that, you can turn it off. Same way you don't want to see the ships, you can turn them off. If you don't want to see, someone's, the location of someone's DMR hotspot, you can turn that off. So there's all kinds of filtering you can do. There's also a message function. I don't know if that's part of the free version, or I'm a member of APRS.fi, so I've paid for the service, so I know I can send messages to somebody right from the web page, so that's kind of a cool feature. But this is the easiest way to get started. I mean, if you just want to look, you don't even have to log into the system. But if you want to add a few more like filtering capabilities, then it doesn't cost you anything to create an account on APRS.fi. And you can have a lot of fun fooling around with this, seeing if this is maybe something you want to get more involved with. So no real financial commitment out of the gate. It's web-based. But it's also an iOS application, so any Apple users in the crowd, it's not a free application, but it's not hideously expensive. Yeah. So it's not.
Excuse me, thank you.
You know, if you're having trouble coming up with $6 for an APRS client, you got bigger things to worry about. Keep bookmark that iOS application though. It's gonna come in handy in a couple of slides here. Okay, lots of the features are free. A couple of them, again, I'm not sure if sending messages via the web page is a free feature or if you have to pay for it. But you're helping the guys in Finland, which is why it's APRS.fi, the guy whose passion project this is. I cannot pronounce his Norwegian name. But he goes by the nickname Hessu, H-E-S-S-U. Super nice guy. And he's been, APRS.fi, he's been doing this probably for about 20 years. And it's a great service. And, yeah, if it's in your budget and you enjoy what he's doing, you know, send a couple bucks his way. It, you know, helps keep it there for everybody. Again, not just APRS information, Citizens Weather, AIS. There's some other things too that I haven't played too much with, because I usually use a dedicated client. But if you've got to set up something hasty, like let's say, you know, at a shelter, or you got a pop up something, you're doing an MCOM deployment, and some decision maker could use this information, boom, you pop up in a web page and away you go. So, next easiest way to get started is an HT that has an integrated TNC. Anybody not know what a TNC is? Okay. Back in the early days of packet, before computers, desktop computers were as powerful as they are, you needed a separate piece of hardware to actually build the packets and then convert them to audio tones for the radio. Think of a TNC basically as a modem. So same way you got a cable modem at home, this is a modem that go between your desktop computer and your radio.
So that's your terminal node
controller.
Yep. So, and again, the very first TNCs, if every once in a while you'll see a Vancouver TNC at a ham fest. And it's like, I generally, you know, if I see people eyeballing them, I gently pull them to one side and say, that doesn't work. So there's several of these, and it's a moving target. I just picked the one that I could find the cleanest picture for. This is a Baofeng UV Pro, and it's got a terminal node controller built into it. It's a separate chip, and you can get to it via Bluetooth. So there you go. Afterwards, if you're a little more interested, I'm sure John would be happy to show you around his radio. The other cool feature is the battery charging via USB, which is awesome. I wish there's no money for them in there, no money for them to do it, but I wish like Kenwood, ICOM, and Yaesu would actually sell aftermarket, you know, sell upgrade battery packs with USB. Yeah, USB charge.
Cheap radio too, right, John?
It's
otherwise it's $700.
It's $180 radio. Yeah. Oh, so okay. It's not a $20 radio. Okay. But it's not a $450 Kenwood.
I think it's more than that.
No, the D75 is $750. Yes.
Don't buy that.
Yeah, don't buy that.
You get a DMR radio.
That's good to know. It's a Bluetooth.
So
BLE.
The cool
Bluetooth too. It's Bluetooth BLE. And it has a TNC. Well, they're the two keys.
It's low energy Bluetooth that'll talk to your phone. That's the important thing.
Yeah. The other popular model is the VGC VRN-76.
It's the same radio, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same chassis.
And it's waterproof.
Hey, if you have the option to buy waterproof. It connects via Bluetooth. So the cool part about this is if you've got Android, APRS Droid is super. Works on a phone, works on an Android tablet. It's got a ton of capability. It's a really, really good piece of software. Not being an Android guy, I don't know if it's free or if you have to pay for it. But if you find a lot of value in the effort that somebody put in to create APRS Droid, send them money their way. That helps, you know, that none of this stuff gets developed and maintained for free. So, you know, if you can help out, please do. But it gives you just super, super APRS capabilities. And because it's over Bluetooth, the radio can sit in your backpack or can sit in your car, because VGC has a mobile with a Bluetooth TNC built into it. So you can just sit there in your car with your phone, or in my case, since I'm an iOS guy, APRS.fi iOS client works great on a phone, works awesome. Like, the ideal form factor is an iPad. You get just huge capabilities, mapping, just all the goodness you could ever want in a package that's highly mobile. The downside is, once you've turned your phone or your tablet off or doing something else, the intrinsic APRS capabilities, basically it will send a position packet, and that's about it. It won't do much more on its own beyond that. So that's kind of the trade-off, where the more expensive APRS radios have 80% of the functionality that you can access via the keypad.
John, when you opened up the APRS FI, it centers on Helsinki.
Oh yeah. Well, you
Finland. It's a guy's Finland.
Yeah,
Finland.
But the other thing too is, you may have location services turned off on your browser.
I just purchased it. So.
Yeah, so it's gonna default to there.
Like,
let me give you my discount. Oh, you already
paid. So. Yeah, sorry.
Damn it, no kickbacks. Okay, so APRS Droid, APRS.fi. There's a couple other APRS. Applications for iOS, they're okay. I would say they're more like beta software. They'll do stuff, but they have some, you know, you'll find some random issues. APRS.fi client on iOS is rock solid.
There's one thing APRS, at least the iOS one, will do. Before I had the tracker in my wife's car, but she had the app on her iPhone. It would basically act as a tracker, and if with a phone would, you didn't even need the radio to do it.
Yeah.
But with a phone network.
Yeah. So, and again, that's an easy, again, I don't know. I'm not being an Android guy. Anybody here have APRS Droid?
Chris,
do you have, is it free or?
There's a free version. There's also a paid version called Pay More Your Invest.
Okay. So there you go. There's, you know, both of these have free options that you can test drive on your phone or tablet. You don't need an APRS radio. You can see if it's something you want to play.
You going to mention Radio Mail?
In a bit.
Okay.
Like right now. So another advantage is all the physical and software, or all the physical stuff here, also works with WinLink. WinLink pack. So John mentioned an iOS app called Radio Mail. I believe there's an equivalent one for Android, but I'm not sure what the name is. But essentially, I can sit here and just via RF connect to a WinLink node and get my WinLink mail that way. In fact, that's a lot. I have a little different setup, but I do have a Bluetooth TNC capable. So I can be using APRS.fi, and all of a sudden I get a message saying, hey, you know, from WinLink, hey, you've got mail. Okay, I shut that off. I start up Radio Mail, same transceiver. I just change the frequency to the one for the WinLink RMS that I connect to, and boom, I get my mail. So you can get, once you've made the investment in the hardware, you get, it's not just, you're doing this just for APRS. There's other things you can do with it too. Again, very limited APRS functionality, just the base radio and front panel. It's essentially, because there's no built-in GPS, it doesn't know pretty much where it is. So it'll send, I believe, the last position it saw. Oh, not even that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't use it for that.
The problem is, I'm following so many of these radios, they start getting confusing after a while. Like, some of these functionalities are also built into some DMR radios, but it varies based on the firmware. So, if you're playing around with analog APRS on a DMR radio, you're kind of blazing your own trail there. Okay, so this is what I... Okay.
If you don't have a radio with TNC, can you do something like use a digi-rate? Okay,
you're getting ahead of it. Getting ahead of it.
Yes.
So, here's the solution I have. And basically, it works exactly the same as radio with the built-in TNC. It's just... it lets you add APRS and WinLink to an existing radio. The manufacturer sells a bunch of different interface cables. So I've got a set of cables that'll go to an HT. I've got Yaesu's weird 10-pin radio interface. I've got a cable for that. This basically just looks like any headset you plug into a computer. It's a TRRS connector. Just plugs in there and you plug in USB to charge the battery. So it's very straightforward to use. And again, adds APRS, WinLink, and general packet. You know, there's clients that will let you do general packet radio too. Again, like the previous radio, uses the phone or tablet for the user interface, so you get a ton of capability. There's zero standalone capability. Once you disconnect from your software, that's it. It's not transmitting anything. It's just sitting here. I see you taking pictures. When we get done, if you give me your email address, I'll send you the entire stack as a PDF.
Great, saves me from taking.
And you'll get something that's a little easier to read.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, again, no standalone capability. One of the negatives is it's another device to manage. It's another battery to charge. You know, now we're talking, okay, got to keep a charger on our phone or our tablet. Got to keep a charger on the radio if it's an HT. Oh, yeah, here's another device. I got to manage the battery. So it's great for adding capability to a radio that doesn't have it, but it does come with some operational costs versus financial costs. There's the financial cost. The actual mobile link, TNC, and an adapter cable comes in right around $150.
For another $30, you can buy the radio.
Yeah, you can get a whole new radio. However, that said, though, I can take this and hook it into a 50-watt mobile radio and gain more capability. Now, what I ran for quite a few years was an HT and a dual band amplifier in the trunk. So I was running basically a 25 watt mobile with an HD. And then when I left the car, I just screwed the dummy load on and walk away and have a portal. But again, like with all this stuff, there's trade-offs. Okay, integrated APRS radios. These are the expensive ones. Hey,
John, free one. If I may, Craig asked about the DigiRig. And I just want to point out that
you're getting ahead of me.
I just want to point out something. If you have your choice between DigiRig and Mobilink, think Mobilink, even with the cost. You'll see why.
And there's some caveats to that too. Like I said, a lot of these decisions, there's not one answer. Because like in everything in science, engineering, amateur radio, the answer is usually it depends. So you got to look at what you want to do, how big your budget is, and that'll inform a lot of your decisions. This picture right here. Now, this is the best APRS handheld ever made, full stop. There's no integrated APRS radio better than the Kenwood D72. Because not only did it do APRS, it was an FM radio, full APRS functionality. There's a little USB connector on the side, boom, plug in. Now you've got access to the TNC. You could do WinLink traditional packet, whatever, anything involving packet radio. You could just plug in the radio and do it. What made this so special, though, it's a full duplex radio. So when for doing back in the day, when we had store and forward packet satellites, that was the bomb for sending packets via satellite. And it has 4 and HD, which is why the thing is the size of a brick. It's got a really, really good front end. I would venture to say a bulletproof front end, because you can go into an Intermod place like Philly, and you'll sit here and watch your radio, watch the squelch light flashing, because you're picking up so much interference from other, so much Intermod from other sources. When I had a D-72, and I cry every time I think of this, when I had a D-72, I could walk around Philly, and it was rock solid. I didn't hear anything that wasn't on 144.39. I cheaped out when I bought mine, because this was a huge investment. I spent like $500, and I had small kids at the time. I saved lunch money for months to be able to buy this thing. And I went cheap. I didn't buy that Kenwood drop-in charger. I bought an aftermarket drop-in charger, and one day the voltage regulation went out and nuked my entire radio. The control board is gone. It's junk. So I have a really, really pristine case and keypad and display. And I still cry, because that was bar none my favorite APRS handheld. Kenwood broke the mold. I wish they had maintained this. I know they wanted to get into D-Star, and if anybody's curious, I'll tell you the whole sad story of how Kenwood wound up with D-Star. But the analog, the D7 and the D72, the D7 was the very first one. I had one of those too. And very capable radio, just didn't have the GPS built in. You had to have an external GPS. But was very well built, like the D72. So they were, for late 90s, the D7 was an amazing radio. Kenwood, in this era, they were really on top of their game. I don't think anybody has made better integrated APRS radios than Kenwood. The problem is, the only one that's out right now is the D75 at $750. Now, the last one, the D750, is their upcoming dual-band mobile with D-Star, analog, and APRS. That's like, I've seen estimates, because it hasn't been approved for sale yet, but I've seen estimates saying it's going to be in the $1,200 neighborhood.
Yeah, I just saw those in 97.
For a dual-band mobile. Kenwood has lost their minds.
And no HF.
You know what the worst part is? They'll sell some.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Go try and find the previous model to the D75. Go try and find a D74 anywhere. And you're still going to pay $400 or $500 for one that's in good shape. So, yeah, there are people that money's no object. They want the best there is. And from an APRS integrated radio point of view, Kenwood is the best there is. Yaesu's equivalent, FT1D, this guy. In the Yaesu line, this is my favorite APRS radio. Simply because, and this is personal, but I don't like touch screens on portables. Because when that happens, there's a good chance your expensive touch screen is now no longer functioning. So from a durability point of view, touch screens, to my mind, they're okay in mobiles, but they don't belong on HDs. So this one will probably go to the grave with me. This is a really, really good, for Yaesu, this is a really, really good radio. But you can see there is a ton of integrated radios out there. And now I will give Yaesu props. The previous models, right now the 5D is the current one that they sell. But they have upgraded the firmware all the way back to the 1D when they changed some of the way C4FM works. Even though this thing had been out of production for almost 10 years, they released a firmware upgrade so it would work with the updated C4FM system. So I give Yaesu props for that. They didn't turn this into landfill material. So the FTs are the handhelds. The FTMs are the mobiles. There's a ton of them. Basically, these are all C4 FM radios, except for this guy here, the FTM350. That's an analog-only radio. It's a really, really good radio. And one of the Chinese vendors, I can never keep track of all their different names, but there's a Chinese vendor that effectively is building an FTM350, identical radio that Yaesu used to sell. It has APRS capability. It's not as good. It's not as good as the Yaesu FTM350. The only downside to the 350 is it's an analog only radio. It doesn't do digital. Now, for a lot of folks, they don't care about digital voice. Hey, have at it. You know, there's plenty. You can save some money and still have all the communications capability. The big thing about integrated radios is 90% of the APRS functionality is available from the front panel. So if you want to send a message, you can send a message. You want to send an object, change your data, you can do everything from the radio. It does not require any external software support. That said, RT system software allows you to program the APRS functions of the radio. It's a lot easier than typing a bunch of arcane commands in from the keypad. I'll give you that. But in an emergency out in the field, you have the capability to make adjustments to your radio on the fly. I highly recommend whatever radio you have. If this is available to you, the Nifty Guide, highly recommend. Now, Nifty, they command a pretty penny for this. This is about $30. But it saved my bacon a bunch of times when I couldn't remember how to do something. So, now, when I was in my 40s, I didn't need this. This is for old people. Well, now that I'm old people, yeah, I need it.
But the rings got more complicated in your defense.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'll do you want to check or cash? Okay. So the newer Kenwood models also have D-Star functionality built in. And again, if anybody's curious as to why that is, I've got the whole sorted tale, and it's, you know, if you like Japanese samurai drama, I got some samurai drama for you. Newer Yaesu radios support C4 FM. In fact, the only one that doesn't is the FTM350.